Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Accidentally Amy by Lynn Painter, narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley. Chapter 1. Amy? The barista yelled out the name before setting down the cup. Isabella Shea saw that it was a venti pumpkin spice latte, the same drink she'd ordered, and she found herself wildly jealous of PSL Amy, whoever she might be. Because Izzy wanted, no, needed, to get her drink and get the hell out of there. If she were a responsible adult, she would have seen the long lines and opted not to get a coffee that morning. But she was not responsible. It was the first day of the PSL, way later than usual because of supply chain issues. So her annual vice refused to be denied, regardless of the fact that she was starting a new job in T-minus 30 minutes. Yes, she was taking quite the moronic risk. Her new employer, Ellis Enterprises, was a big tech company with a reputation for being environmentally conscious and employee-friendly. They had workout facilities, a childcare center, free cafeteria, 4 p.m. daily happy hour. Ellis was renowned for being a great place to work, so Izzy was definitely going to punch herself in the face if her lack of self-discipline made her late for her very first day. Amy? The barista said it again, and Izzy looked around the busy coffee shop. There was a group of women at a big table on the other side of the store, all dressed in workout clothes and looking like bar fitness models. Perhaps one of them was Amy. Izzy felt like PSL Amy was quickly becoming her nemesis. She glanced down at her phone and stifled a groan. Shit, shit, shit. If they didn't call out Izzy's name in the next 3 minutes, and they probably wouldn't because there were a lot of empty cups sitting in front of the espresso machine waiting to be filled, she was going to have to kiss that $6 drink goodbye and abort her mission for caffeine. Amy! The barista said it again, sounding agitated this time. And before she had time to think, Izzy heard herself mutter, I'm Amy. And she reached out and grabbed the cup. She knew it was wrong. She really did. But she needed to go, and she needed that drink. And she'd already paid, so it wasn't really stealing, right? She put her palm over the word Amy, closed her fingers around the cup, and turned, ready to sprint out of the shop as fast as her patent leather heels would take her. But when she turned, she rammed right into a wall. Oh! Oh, my God. It wasn't a wall. It was a rock-hard chest, encased in a starched white dress shirt and a charcoal tie. She stared in horror as her cup crushed on impact, the lid popped off, and hot pumpkin coffee splurted all over the chest. I'm so sorry. She looked up and, whoa. You know how in movies everything can freeze when a character sees the big thing? Well, that was happening to Izzy as she made eye contact with Mr. Chest. He was looking down at her with dark eyes, really intense dark eyes that weren't so much brown as they were the richest shade of burnt amber. His eyebrows were black, his hair was black, his well-maintained scruff was black. And even his suit was black, which all worked together to form some sort of contrasting frame for his face's ridiculous bone structure and perfectly shaped mouth. He was like Roy Kent's taller American brother or something, and Izzy didn't think she was physically capable of closing her mouth at that moment. Until she felt the scalding coffee seeping into her own shirt. Thank God it was black. That made the moment unfreeze itself. Izzy muttered, "Aww," tossed her crumpled up R.I.P. PSL into the trash hole and grabbed a stack of napkins from the end of the counter. I can't believe I ran right into you, she babbled, rubbing the clump of napkins over his shirt with one hand while she dabbed at her own with the other. She was kind of mashing the napkins against the man's chest, patting and dabbing and trying to do anything to make the huge splotch of coffee disappear. One minute I was grabbing my drink, the next I was ramming your chest with boiling latte. I'm not even sure. It's fine. His voice was dark too, rich and baritone, and a little bit raspy. Izzy glanced up and he was giving her a half smile, like he was amused as she rubbed his pecs. And something about that look made her knees weak. He said, I hated this shirt anyway. She coughed out a laugh, relieved he wasn't mad. I did too, but I didn't know how to tell you. Hence the PSL. He gave a little laugh.
Subtle, but effective.
Dear Lord. Izzy realized she was still feeling him up. Having secured second base with the stranger, she stopped her groping, set the napkins on the bar top beside them, and bit down on her lower lip to stop herself from smiling. Because she should feel bad about scolding the man, right? I really am sorry. I'd be happy to get it dry cleaned for you or something. A better person would offer to replace it, but I have a feeling it's out of my price range. He did the half-bark, half-laugh sound again that Izzy could feel in her toes, and he said,
What makes you say that?
It's soaking wet, and I still can't see through it. That has to mean it's quality.
Were you trying to? He asked.
What, see through your shirt? He gave a nod. Izzy shrugged. I wouldn't say I was trying, per se, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't checking for a third nipple. He didn't say anything for a minute, still half smiling, but now with a tiny wrinkle between his brows, and she knew her cheeks were turning red. He cleared his throat and said,
I promise there isn't one. Not that there's anything wrong with having three.
She did smile then. I mean, the more the merrier, right? His mouth split into a slow, wide smile that she really liked a lot.
Are we sure that applies here?
Definitely not, but I couldn't let a moment pass without speaking, she said.
Yeah, I can see that about you.
Hey, Izzy said. Just because I boiled your chest doesn't mean you can insult me.
I feel like it actually does mean that. And technically, he said with a sly grin, you insulted yourself. I, being a polite individual, merely agreed.
Fair. She rolled her eyes and said, I'll even give you one more. Go. He let out his breath and raised his eyebrows.
This feels like a trap.
Do it, she said, crossing her arms. Go, slam me, bro. He gave a little chuckle. He didn't look like someone used to being called bro, and said,
Fine. I'm surprised you can see out of those glasses. They're very dirty, like a crime scene. No wonder you walked into me.
Izzy laughed out. Wow, you actually did it.
You told me to, he said around a grin.
And then he gestured with his hand. Very big. Not that she noticed. For her to hand over her glasses. No. She narrowed her eyes and knew her eyebrows were all screwed together. Seriously?
Come on. Hand him over.
Okay, she said, laughing at the ridiculousness as she took her glasses off and handed them to the complete stranger. Here you go. He reached into the inside pocket of his suit jacket. Very nice suit, by the way. And pulled out a microfiber cloth. He looked down at her glasses, which were always dirty, as he buffed the lenses. And Izzy wondered what in God's name was actually happening. She said, They're usually not.
Yes, I think they probably are, he teased, without looking up.
Yeah, they usually are, she agreed, smiling as he handed them back. She slid them up her nose, tilted her head, and said, Oh my God, you're a man. He moved his head, a little nod acknowledging her joke. And he gave her full-on eye contact.
with a jaw flex. The moment held, and she felt like she was being physically pulled closer to the guy, like some bizarro gravitational pull was in play, when the barista shouted, "Blake?" Both of their heads whipped toward the Starbucks employee, and Izzy thought she might have audibly gasped at the interruption, but she wasn't sure. "That's me," he said, his eyes narrowing on her for a split second, like he was thinking something about her, before he pointed and leaned forward to reach around her for his cup. The faint smell of cologne hit her as he grabbed his coffee, cologne that smelled expensive and subtle, and Izzy had the inexplicable urge to nuzzle his throat. "Get it together, dipshit. Be cool." He turned to face her, leaning down so she could hear him over the noise of the crowded coffee shop, and his deep voice found her ear with, "Do you want to grab a table?"
"Oh no. What time is it?"
The word table jolted her into real life. He might have said the time, but she was too busy pulling her phone out of her pocket to hear him. She looked at the display, panic surging through her, and said,
"Oh my God, I'm late, I have to go."
She fished her keys out of her pocket, and he was still watching her with that look on his face. She had to say something, so she uttered as quickly as she could,
"I come here every morning around 7:45, so if you want to be reimbursed for the dry cleaning or, anything else, I'll be here tomorrow."
"Okay."
"Gotta run. Nice meeting you."
She ran for the door, literally sprinting around tables in her 3-inch pumps, and as she pushed it open, Izzy heard that intensely masculine voice say from behind her,
"I guess I'll see you tomorrow then, Amy."
"Amy? Oh, no."
Chapter 2. Izzy hitched her tote bag over her shoulder and headed for the elevators, feeling downright giddy over the way her first day on the job was going so far. She'd spent all morning with her team, shadowing the HR generalist whose position she was filling, and it had been, no joke, fun. Seriously, everyone in the department seemed to get along, the work seemed challenging, but not too stressful, and she actually had an incredibly small office with her name on the door. In addition to that little nugget of fantasticality, Insight Fitness, the city's hottest health club, was located on the 12th floor of the building next door, and Ellis employees were able to use it for free. For free. So Izzy had just run 3 miles on the treadmill, and now she was ready for part two of her amazing day. She saw the elevator doors starting to close and called out, "Wait!" just in case someone was listening and wanted to be nice. She expected nothing, so she very nearly squealed with delight when she saw a big hand reach out and stop the doors. Could the day get any better? "Thank you," she sang as she ran over and hopped into the elevator.
"No problem," the guy inside said. "What flo-"
Oh my God.
Izzy's mouth fell wide open as she came face to face with Mr. Chest from Starbucks. He was still wearing his fancy suit, sans coffee-stained shirt, but the tips of his hair were wet, like he'd just showered, and she could literally smell his soap. Fresh. She breathlessly said around a laugh, "It's you." He looked just as surprised to see her, but then his mouth turned up into one of those toe-curling, genuinely happy smiles that bumped an exceptionally handsome man right up to a work of art. He said in that ridiculously deep voice,
"Talk about your small worlds."
The elevator doors slid closed, and he gestured with his thumb to the floor buttons. Izzy managed,
"Oh, yeah, lobby, please."
Even though she was so shocked, she could barely remember how to form words. All morning, she'd been forcing herself not to think about Mr. Chest, because not only did she need to focus on the new job, but there was also no way in hell a Starbucks meet-cute would ever pan out into something real. But now, here he was. Dun-dun-dun! So, he asked, do you work around here, or do you belong to this gym?
I was working out, she started, but then he nodded and cut her off with,
okay, I don't normally do this sort of thing, but someone's going to get on this elevator any minute now, so I have to talk fast.
His face was purposeful and intense, but his mouth was relaxed, like he was slightly amused by the situation. Izzy watched the numbers lighting up on the display over the doors as they descended. 11, 10, 9. Please don't stop. Please don't stop.
I know we're strangers, he said,
his eyes so focused on her that she felt like fixing her hair or fidgeting with her lip gloss. But 8, 7, 6.
Izzy reached out and hit the emergency button behind him, making the elevator car jolt to a stop.
Mr. Chest stopped talking as she stumbled in her pumps, which propelled her a little closer to him, and his eyes narrowed just a fraction. A wrinkle appeared in between his brows, and Izzy shook her head.
No, I'm not stopping for creepy reasons. I swear I'm not that bunny boiler from Silence of the Lambs trying to seduce you in an elevator or something. I just...
Fatal Attraction.
What?
The bunny boiling was in Fatal Attraction, he said,
and the wrinkle of concern that had been between his brows disappeared as his mouth twitched into a tiny smirk.
Oh, yeah, Fatal Attraction. Duh.
She rolled her eyes and said, I just want to hear what you have to say without reaching the ground floor first. That's all this little stoppage is about.
What I have to say?
He stepped a little closer, but not in an intimidating way. It was more intimate. It reminded her of the way Darcy said, Mr. Wickham, and stepped closer to Elizabeth during his rain proposal in the hand-flex version of P&P, and Izzy thought she might faint dead away for the first time in her life. He put his hands in the pockets of his suit pants and said,
Is, I have meetings all afternoon, but can I please call you later?
On the telephone?
Izzy noticed he had perfect eyebrows as she said,
Like a psycho?
Well, I'm shit with the emojis, he said,
looking half serious and a little boyish. Send a lot of accidental eggplants?
No, he laughed.
Use the same tired, cry-laughing smiley for everything like a total wank?
Is that a wank thing to do?
Absolutely it is.
Well, then, yes.
He cleared his throat and said,
But my absolute wankiness aside...
Wankitude. Or is it wankery?
Wankiness,
he said, rolling his eyes as he continued.
I rather like hearing the voice of the person I'm talking to.
Izzy made a noise in her throat and felt like she needed garlic or some type of dagger she could plunge into Mr. Chest's chest as protection, because statements like that were a straight-up assault on her ovaries.
He rather liked hearing the person's voice?
Just take my heart now, you gorgeous wank.
I'll give you my number, she said, trying not to seem too eager. But I make no promises on the whole phone talk thing. I fear I may start mashing the numerical keypad and shouting emoji names at random out of confusion.
Eggplant, eggplant,
he said with an absolute straight face. Our conversation will have to take a pretty wild turn for that to be my emoji shout of choice, but you never know. Izzy looked down at his shirt. Do you have a closet full of fresh shirts at your office, or did you have to go home after I drenched your Calvin Klein?
I ran home.
She still felt bad about that. Please tell me you live close to Starbucks.
You seem pretty interested in my personal information,
he said, his eyes getting a teasing glint that made her want to ruffle his hair.
You sure you're not a bunny boiler?
Izzy tilted her head and wondered if he had pets. Do you have a bunny? An eyebrow went up.
What do you want to know?
I'm fascinated by the pets people keep, she said, her eyes wandering all over his face.
And if you told me you had a bunny, I think I'd find you to be the most interesting man in this elevator. He smiled a little more, and his dimples popped. Fucking dimples. I'm going to need that dagger stat. He said, words cannot express how much I regret to inform you that I am not one in possession of a rabbit. Izzy bit down on her lower lip to hold in the laugh. She looked up at him and said, it is tragic, but perhaps you might consider adopting one? He leaned a little closer, and just like that, there was white-hot electricity in that elevator. Their faces were close, and Izzy was very aware all of a sudden that they were alone in a stopped elevator car. Her oxygen was now his freshly showered scent, and she wanted to breathe it in until she hyperventilated. His voice was quieter, huskier, when he said, swear to God, if I didn't already have a cat, I'd be begging you to go with me to the shelter to pick out a bunny this very minute.
You have a cat?
She asked in a near whisper, defeated with the realization that even a dagger through the heart couldn't protect her if Blake was a cat guy.
I have two, he said,
and then he grinned. A dirty grin. He knew. Somehow he knew he was killing her and her lady parts.
You're the worst,
Izzy said, unable to hold in the smile.
I'm gonna need that number, he replied, pulling out his phone and waiting.
She barely got out all 10 digits before the red phone in the elevator car started ringing.
We should probably turn this thing back on before the authorities arrive, he said,
his jaw doing a little clench-unclench thing that Izzy felt like she could watch for hours.
Yeah, she said, taking a step away from him and touching her lips. I don't want to have to answer that phone.
Afraid of panicking and screaming, evil smile?
He asked as he depressed the emergency stop button.
Yep.
Izzy watched the number display start counting down again as they resumed their descent, and she wondered what he'd do if she reached around him and pressed it again. Blake. Blake hit save on the spreadsheet and glanced at his watch for the 10th time that hour. It was 5:15. He'd just finished his last meeting, and he needed to wrap up a few things before he could take off for the night. He usually worked late, at least until 7, but he hadn't been able to focus since running into the girl from Starbucks in the elevator at InSight. What in the hell were the odds? The last thing he was looking for was a relationship. He and Sky had just called off their engagement 3 weeks ago, and he planned on staying single for a long-ass time. Forever sounded pretty fucking awesome to him at that point. But there was something about the Starbucks girl, Amy. After so much dishonesty from Sky, so many little white lies that piled up as teasers to her big-ass lie, it was refreshing to be around someone who seemed so open. He'd only met her for a total of 5 minutes, so technically he knew nothing about her, but compared to his just-let-me-explain former fiancé, she felt real. And it was kind of blowing his mind. Blake hated small talk, and most people in general, yet talking to her had been fun. After they'd gone their separate ways earlier, he'd sent her a quick text, just so she had his number.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
She responded immediately. Now who's the bunny boiler? I just left the building and you're already texting. Obsessed much, Joe Goldberg? He'd stopped walking to reply.
Did I mention that one of my cats is blind?
Because the look that had crossed her face in the elevator when he'd said he had cats was fucking golden. She replied, you are a menace, and I should probably block you for that sort of filth. Also, on a random side note, when you call tonight, make sure you have the kitties nearby so I can hear their little meows.
Damn it. He was really looking forward to calling her. Fucking lunacy, that.
Knock, knock,
He looked up, and Pam Carson, the HR manager, was leaning into his office.
Hey, Pam,
he said, hoping this would be quick.
Hey. She smiled and said, Listen, Isabella Shea, our new generalist, started today, and I just wanted to introduce you before she goes home, if you have a second.
Sure, he said.
Blake didn't really give a rat's ass about the new generalist, if he were being entirely honest. Pam and the entire HR department ran like a well-oiled machine. Technically, on the org chart, they were part of his team. But unless something unusual was going on, the HR director handled everything and he had very little contact with them. Except when Pam showed up at his door every few months to introduce him to a new hire.
Isabella, this is Blake Phillips, one of our AVPs.
Pam stepped sideways in the doorway and a brunette smiled and raised her hand in a casual wave. He opened his mouth to say,
Nice to meet you.
But the girl standing just outside of his office looked exactly like...
No. Holy shit, it was. Starbucks Amy. What in the actual hell?
Izzy. You have got to be kidding.
Izzy knew she was beaming like a toddler, looking at an ice cream cone. But what else could she do but grin? Fate was literally throwing this man at her. She said,
You again?
This is getting ridiculous.
Blake looked super important sitting behind the huge desk in the huge office. He was giving her a smile, but that wrinkle was back between his eyebrows.
Do you two know each other?
Pam asked, smiling inquisitively and swinging her gaze back and forth between the two of them.
I kind of spilled coffee all over Mr. Phillips at Starbucks this morning.
And also gave him my number.
It's a shockingly small world.
Blake leaned back a little in his chair and crossed his arms, looking every inch the executive. A very expensive-looking watch peeked out from under his right cuff.
Pam called you Isabella.
Yes?
So I thought you said your name was Amy.
Oh, crap.
She'd been so locked in on the pretty of his face that she'd forgotten all about the stolen coffee. Her face felt warm as she muttered,
Oh, yeah. So, funny thing, I didn't actually say my name was Amy. I think you made an assumption after seeing my cup.
She smiled and tried making him laugh with,
You know what happens when you assume.
He didn't laugh and instead asked,
Is Amy your middle name or something?
She suddenly felt like she was on trial. He looked like a stern judge. Hot thought to be revisited later. And Pam was like a juror, quietly watching the cross-examination. Izzy opened her mouth and was about to consider grabbing onto his middle name excuse like the liar she'd apparently become when Pam said,
No, her middle name is Clarence. Right, Izzy? Isn't that what you told me when you filled out the I-9 form?
Pam laughed and said to Blake,
I think she said it was her grandfather's name. Isabella Clarence. Can you imagine?
Izzy rubbed her lips together for a second.
Shit, shit, shit.
And then she said, Amy isn't actually my name at all.
It's kind of a funny story.
Blake's head tilted just the tiniest bit. She said,
Just let me explain.
Pam kept smiling, looking at Izzy like she was waiting for a hilarious tale, but Blake was doing that jaw-clench thing and absolutely not smiling anymore. He kind of looked pissed.
Okay, so I was running a little behind and didn't want to be late for my first day at Ellis. I paid for my drink, but the line was super long. Like, so long that I was going to have to bail before I even got my coffee, right?
Pam was still into it, listening in amused anticipation, but Blake just looked impatient, like he knew the rest and wanted her to shut the hell up. She looked down at her feet and rushed out the words.
So, after they called for Amy...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?